gentlemen, may I direct your attention to something quite extraordinary?
Chris, the Herons are back. And we got messy.
What's going on? What? Where is the information?
I guess we're getting ready for a sister kissing fiesta.
I felt like we were playing a 2-8. It was just a 2-8.
Let me tell you, Danny is about to get destroyed in the chat. So you
are we kissing sisters, Chris?
Yeah, maybe stepsisters, but not regular sisters. I've done a little bit of research on him. When it comes to FIFA, this guy's 68.
We're going to have the greatest player of all time on the team. If there's a time to believe, it's now.
It looks like a heron shat all over it. So you guys are literally getting excited for a rank 65 player on FIFA 23. We got some pretty good FIFA cards on our squad now.
You gotta understand, Kevin. This is how we scout our players here on the show.
Just look at FIFA cards.
No question about it. I am ready to get hurt again.
Chris, the Herons are back. Welcome, everybody, to episode number 169 of the Battered Herons podcast. I am your host, Daniel Granada, and alongside me, as always, Mr. KBD. How are you doing, sir?
I mean, is the Rayados ready for this Wednesday?
I don't think they're ready.
Because Spicy Messi is coming in hot.
Yeah, apparently he was ready to fight people. That's what I heard.
It's going down. It's going down, baby. It's going Spicy down Messi on Wednesday.
That's it. I'm ready. Before we get into it with our guest Eddie from Rayados 90, housekeeping. Chris, I don't know if you got the email, but for you season ticket holders, there was an email that came out that was sent out to season ticket holders today, and it was about the Leagues Cup. They finally gave us first right of refusal. A lot of people said that we were going to get it for Leagues Cup. That's what we got it for, one whole game this year. But, I mean, I guess one is better than none. We got it for the Leagues Cup. So you have until, I want to say April, so tomorrow? Is it tomorrow? You have 1 or 2 days to opt out. Now, usually I thought this was an opt-in, but apparently you're automatically opted in. And if you do not want them to charge you, you have to go ahead and click that you want to opt out. If you do not do that, later this week, they're going to send you an invoice in which you either have to pay or if you have automatic withdrawals. I don't know if they automatically take the money out of your account. I'm not sure how that works. But if you do not want to attend that Leagues Cup game, I suggest you go look for that email and go ahead and opt out because there's a chance that you might get charged. They didn't really specify if you have automatic payments, if they'll just automatically take it off or if you have to go ahead and still pay for that. So. Chris, are you going to go ahead and opt in?
You know what? I think I might because finally, I mean, and I would assume you would too, but they're finally offering some sort of, I guess, benefit to the season ticket holder. No?
No. And Chris, Will is off here a little off topic.
Ooh,
but have you been seeing or following the Broncos' new MLS series rating each stadium experience? I have not. That sounds extremely interesting, and I am going to have to look into that. I'm assuming that's on Apple TV. No, he said the Broncos new. I don't know what the Broncos is. I don't know what that is, but I would love to do that. If I had money like Chris, I would go ahead and travel and just vlog in every stadium so that you guys can get that experience because what there's nothing I love more than going to a new stadium. A new stadium, new ballpark, whether it be basketball, baseball. Actually, basketball is pretty generic. They're all the same. But football, baseball, soccer, I would love that. And he said it's on YouTube. No, it's on YouTube. Yeah. Everybody's saying the Bronco on YouTube. Man. And you know what? It's something that I really would love to do. But like I said, I'm poor, so I can't. But I think that would be something really cool to do. Chris, you got money. Why don't you do it?
I don't got money like that, baby. I'm not going nowhere like that. And you're rich, bitch. Look at the shirt you got. It's a cafetero, baby.
It's a cafetera.
It's a cafetera. It is a cafetera.
It's a cafetera.
Are you going to be staying opt in or are you going to?
Yes.
Are you still going to be a punk ass?
No. I'm going. I told you, I'm not going to any Champions Cup games because of the whole first right refusal crap. I'm really upset about that. So I refuse to go to any Champions Cup game, but I will be going to that Leagues Cup game. So I did not opt out. I'm going to wait to see if they automatically charge me or if I got to go pay for it whenever I get that invoice. But yes, I will be attending that Leagues Cup game.
Nice. And Ilwill, of course, is chiming in again saying LAFC is currently on top. Second is Atlanta. We are currently third. Okay.
I don't know if how many stadiums they've been to. I can't see how we would be third. We don't. I'm surprised because we don't even have like a real stadium. I mean, I guess the atmosphere. Maybe that's what they're talking about. Because honestly, like stadium wise, there's nothing I want to see more than the Atlanta. I want to go to that Mercedes-Benz Stadium so bad. But every time we play them like during the week, unfortunately. So I haven't had a chance to make it out there.
It looks like everybody got their wish, got Sleeveless Chris back.
Got the sleeves. Anybody want money on that?
Well, yeah. Hopefully people put down some change on that.
All right. So any more housekeeping that you want to do, Chris, before we jump in with Eddie?
I mean, other than that, that's to me the biggest news. I mean, it's finally something that a lot of season ticket holders have been asking for. And it's not exactly what everybody had anticipated as far as like opting in, but it is something.
100%.
You know? Yeah. For those of you that don't know, Will is a good one of our best friends that we've had for Danny and I have known for over 25 years. So if anybody knows, he knows that I've been sleeveless since N1 mixtape days. So
yeah, he goes everywhere without sleeves. Literally, yeah. Go restaurants, whatever it is, he ain't rocking sleeves.
No, I'd rather not.
All right, so I think we're ready to bring on Eddie, right?
Yeah, we're ready. Let's go. Right. I mean, we're
yeah. Before we bring on Eddie, I just wanted to say something before Eddie could even respond. Chris and I, post game on Wednesday, we agreed that we thought Monterrey looked like the most overrated team we have watched in a very long time. Yeah. Because everybody made us feel like they were going to kick our ass 5-0, whether Messi was playing or not playing.
Pretty
they didn't look that impressive. They didn't look that impressive. I'm not saying they look bad, but like the way everybody made Monterrey out to be, like I was expecting a lot more. So I'm really curious to see what Eddie has to say about the way the first leg came out. Should we bring him on?
Well, I want to bring, we'll bring him on, but I just wanted to bring on a comment that I saw a little bit earlier. I can't find it anywhere, but Monterrey lost their last game.
Yeah, but they rest a lot of players against Cruz Azul, I know.
Yeah, against Cruz Azul, so I think they already feel it. They feel it, baby.
The last two Liga MX games, they lost, and then the game in the middle of the week, they basically lost in 60 minutes. And then when they were playing against 10 men, all of a sudden they won. So I don't know. They're looking a little suspect to me. But again, let's go ahead and let's bring on Eddie to see what he has to say about his boys, Los Rayados. Eddie, welcome to the show, sir. Thank you for joining us again.
My pleasure is mine. Good to be back. Last year, we were supposed to do this. Last week's show was for last year. Now this year's for this year. Yeah. This week's for this week. For this year.
So, but, Eddie.
Oh, no. I got to respond. You already posed the question.
Go ahead.
I created my account in 2019. So I'm going off of those in 2019 and 2021 when they were in this tournament where it was home in a leg against MLS teams. That's the kind of like match I expected. Like the in 2021 we struggled against the Columbus Crew. I think they were coming off winning the MLS championship or whatever, and we barely tied it 1-1 in stoppage time, and then we got them at home. So this is the kind of game I expected. And you can see a lot of like outside of like America kicking New England Revolution's ass. Like all these games have been 0-0. Just either take it tie. Or take a small advantage and then take care of business at home. So that's what I was expecting. I didn't come here last week and think and say, "Oh, we're going to win 4-0."
No, you didn't. To be fair, you called
like,
a draw.
I don't know who you've been telling you. Like, I know my team. I know like when they're playing away, especially this season, it's been one of these rides where it's like we shouldn't have won this game, but good teams find ways to win. And I feel like this is the kind of example where it's like good teams find a way to win, even if it's not pretty or ugly, or, you know, if it's not pretty. I think that's what it's been like this season. It's like, just find a way to win, and that's what good teams do. I didn't expect them to come in and win 4-0, 5-0. That's not what I was thinking at all. I mean, I already said, whether Messi plays or not, it's going to be 2-2.
I know. Yeah, that is true. You did say that. And the thing is, Twitter's a toxic place.
Yeah.
It is very toxic.
So, and then Mr. Krabs says, if Monterrey's overrated, what is Inter Miami? Inter Miami's injured is what they are. So, I mean, that's what it boils down to. Because that first leg, all right, this is how I saw it. And then you tell me what you think. I thought Tata had the perfect game plan for the first 60 minutes, obviously. right? He congested the midfield, made you guys work wide. Canales and Brandon Vasquez couldn't get the ball. And at that point, you guys were frustrated. You couldn't figure things out. I thought that was the perfect plan. David Ruiz had those silly three yellow cards. Some people were saying it's two, but it almost sounded like three, one after the other. And then once it went to 10 men, you couldn't congest the midfield the same way. All of a sudden, you had passing lanes and things changed. I was looking in the first half, because a lot of people were like, oh, but did you see how many shots Monterrey had all game? Yeah, that's fine. Let's talk about the first half. The first half, both teams had six shots. Inter Miami had two shots on target. Monterrey had three shots on target. Second half, Monterrey had 15 shots. Things changed those last 30 minutes. It was a drastic change because you couldn't employ that same game plan. What did you think about the game as overall and what Miami did that frustrated you guys?
Yeah, like you said, they clogged, and I saw it too. They clogged up. I think somebody pointed it out. I'm not sure if it was your guys' podcast or another Inter Miami podcast. And then I went back and looked at like
let's just give us the credit.
Yeah, where it was like a 4-5-1 at some point, like where some of like the attackers would come into the midfield, and it was just like there was no really good passing lanes. Where like you said, it was Arteaga for like the first before the goal. It was mostly going through Arteaga. And the best scoring chance we had before the Aviles goal was that Brandon Vasquez shot like 10 minutes in, if I'm not mistaken, where, you know, if he just puts it in a better direction, maybe it goes in, but Callender stops it. I think that was like our best scoring chance right up until like the red card that gave us the advantage there. But yeah, no, it wasn't a pretty game plan. It was obviously it's going to be in the mud. We're going to make life difficult for you, even though, you know, or at least Inter Miami, even though, like, you know, their attacking was on par a little bit, but that felt like that was a good game plan. Frustrate them. You got it because Canales is 60% of our attack. That's, you know, we depend, like, that's the guy.
You gave us that stat last week.
Yeah. And so if you take him out, if you neutralize him, it really complicates things. And then, you know, that's what he did. And then you got to give him credit for that. Hey, we're going to take away Brandon Vasquez and Canales. We're going to have your depth pieces or your other pieces around them have us beat. And I feel like that was the game plan. Hey, we lose by their actions. That's all they can do. But your two top guys, they're not going to beat us. And I felt like that was the game plan. Hey, we'll try to take them out. And it worked up until the red card.
Right.
Well, and one of the things that I notice is because you have Gomez and you have Ruiz, who are like the two dogs of this team on both sides. So like they were able to play aggressive and like persistent enough to really bother the outside wingers and the outside players, where they really couldn't be able to work it in the middle. And now Danny just brought up the starting lineup, I guess, for Monterrey. That was probably the most frustrating thing that I saw. And again, it just opened it up when Ruiz got the red card, because obviously
you said Gomez and Ruiz difference. And I thought you were talking about Monterrey. I was like, who the hell is Gomez and Ruiz? You're talking about Inter Miami.
Yeah, I'm talking about Inter Miami.
Okay, my fault. I was like, who the hell is that? Okay, got you. My fault.
What do you mean, who the hell is that? I brought up guys that are literally on our team. I mean,
but you said you when you said Gomez and Ruiz. So it felt like you were referring to Eddie.
I think who cares?
All right, I'm sorry. Let's keep going. My fault.
Yes. So who cares? But other than that, I mean, Gressel played a pretty decent game. Robert Taylor went down. That makes a fucking huge difference, because what we end up bringing on, what's his face? Alfonso. Alfonso isn't that great, to be honest. I mean, he's fresh out the box to play such a big game like this. It's frustrating to see.
Well, I think the biggest issue with I know I keep seeing this like throughout the chat. All right, the biggest issue with Inter Miami and just MLS teams in general is that there's a huge drop off between the starting 11 and our backups. Always, right? That's where the money comes in, because Monterrey, they probably have some depth on their bench. Like, we went from having Robert Taylor to Alfonso, who literally just made his MLS debut. Like, what was it 2 weeks ago? Like, these are inexperienced guys playing in these very important games for this franchise. So that's always going to be a drop-off. Now, if we have a healthy 11, I think things are going differently. Like, for example, the way we played those first 60 minutes, hypothetically, let's say Messi's playing that game. Do you think that you still win that game?
Well, you got to tell me, is he going to commit to coming down and helping clog up the midfield? Because I believe, you know, the two wingers that you guys had were going in and at least contributing defensively, you know, whether it's just getting in the way of passes, making it, you know, because Montero was doing a lot of short passes, and that was kind of frustrating me, where it was just short passes, and then nothing. So the thing with Messi, is he going to come in and, I don't know, at least bother the passing lanes? You guys can tell me. Like, I covered him when – yeah, okay. but, yeah, that's the thing. And then, you know, so if Suarez – I don't know if he's going to be able to do it for 90 minutes, coming in trying to help defensively. So there you go, two players out that can help clog up that midfield. Maybe it's a different game, but I still believe it would really be 1-1 or 2-2. I think the game plan would have been different if there was a Messi. It wouldn't have been, hey, we'll clog up the midfield. We'll have five players at various points inside and take away any passing lanes.
Yeah.
Because it was all short, and I was getting frustrated too. I was like, stop passing it short. But yeah, I feel like with Messi, it's a different game plan. At least I would think.
Yeah, I would agree. I think that's a great point, that the game plan might have been different. It would have opened up a lot more for you guys to have opportunities offensively also.
Yeah. I mean, it's frustrating though, because we're literally playing with a team where we have so many injuries. I mean, somebody in the comments mentioned missing Redondo, missing Messi. I mean, those are two key players in the midfield for us. I mean, just the fact that we're getting Messi, of course, is going to make a big difference. But like Redondo, we're talking about another player that
Robert that Taylor we're sort also.
Of missing. Yeah, Robert Taylor as well. I mean, of course, from the last game, but now we're going to be missing him from the next game. So. And this is something I wanted to mention right here. Alejandro, great power slam here. We're going to take that mountain down, Eddie. Sorry. So, I mean, I'm pretty sure Danny is working in the background like the crack staff here. But basically, we were talking in the last episode about how you guys have like beautiful mountains and beautiful landscapes. And apparently, everyone in the chat thought that Messi is going to shit his pants because of – you know, home team advantage and mountains and stuff. Like, who cares about mountains, Danny, right? Like, or well, am I crazy?
He might get some diarrhea from drinking, like, you know, Latin American water out there, you know, some stuff like that. Because, I mean, yeah. How long has it been since he's you know, I feel like when he travels with Argentina, it's play that game and bounce out. So he'll be over there for a couple of hours. We'll see how that goes. But yeah, I get your point up. But anybody who doesn't follow Monterrey or, you know, the stadium, there's the backdrop of the mountains. It usually goes viral like at least two or three times. There you go. It goes viral two or three times a year on photos or, you know, on like those football aggregate accounts or whatever. you know, but yeah,
it's a beautiful view.
It's not Photoshop. There's people who post like actual, that's a little bit like maybe messed around with Photoshop a little bit, but like the actual, like when people take photos of it, like it looks really nice. And some people who have gone, I know, an FC Cincinnati fan went like for the last tie. And, you know, he had nothing but good words to say about that. So it's not just like social media messing with people, and it's a really nice thing.
Well, before we address the players that are going to be missing because of red cards and suspensions and whatnot, I do want to talk about that home field advantage that everybody keeps saying that we have to be scared of. Now, I want you to tell me. And sorry, just interrupt real quick with this comment. Between Danny, Eddie, and Chris, you can tell which one is super old based on their beard.
Super old? I mean, I hope they're not doing that because of my white hair.
You're salt and pepper. All right. So, like I was saying,
old. I'm only 5 months older than freaking Danny. What the hell? 4 months. Get out of here.
As far as home field advantage, everybody keeps talking about the fact that it's going to be a crazy home field advantage and that Inter Miami isn't ready to go into Monterrey and face that type of atmosphere. Mm-hmm. Now, this is what Chris and I were saying.
Who cares?
Messi has won World Cups. Busquets and Jordi Alba have won World Cups. We have Chelo Weigand, who literally just came out of Boca, who's playing against River Plate in one of those derbies, which are as wild as I've ever seen. Like, the players on this specific team, I don't think are fazed by the fans in Monterrey. What do you think? Because I look, if you're talking about David Ruiz, which isn't playing because he's suspended, mm-hmm. or those players, those academy yeah. players that are just randomly thrown up, Noah Allen, stuff like that, okay. But the players we have, like Kristoff, he's playing in Ukraine. Like, do you have any idea how crazy it is to play football in Ukraine? Like
mid-war occurring in a football game.
Like, I don't think that our team is going to be phased with the Monterrey home field advantage. I mean, maybe if this was last year's Inter Miami, but not the current squad. What do you think about this home field advantage that everybody keeps talking up?
I think it's going to play some part, at least, in terms of like communication and all that stuff. It's going to be really, really loud. I don't think it's going to be like you said, Suarez, he played in Brazil. He just like, these guys aren't like, Messi has played in South America. So, and granted it's national team level and there's a little bit of a difference between, national team.
It's still wild.
And club. But, I don't think those guys, like you said, Bruce, those four core guys aren't going to be phased. Now, Chelo wasn't, the starter for all that Boca run that they did to the Copa Libertadores final. It was
no, but right, but even
but I know, but it's the thing, while. It's like, okay, I'm right. sitting on the bench where it's like playing 90 full minutes. That's the only counter argument I would say.
Right, okay, that's recently. He was a starter at some point, and he was playing in those River Plate games. All I'm saying, those River, I don't know if you've ever seen, like, watch the documentaries. Those motherfuckers get crazy.
Yeah. No. It's just it's gonna be loud. That it's gonna be really, really loud. And it's just gonna be, whether it's like Aviles, how is he gonna adjust to that? Freire, I gotta look back and how he performed when he was at Pumas there. I gotta look back and see how he did.
But Aviles played for Racing in Argentina. Like, these players have like, if you're playing in Argentina Brazil,
it's now like, okay, but this is like a I don't know how many knockout stages games like this he played. Like, that's another, you gotta
you're talking about. Okay, I got you.
It's a knockout stage, right? So I don't know how, like. I'm not following Racing, but I got to see like how did he play in knockout stage games, whether it's Sudamericana or Libertadores, stuff like that. I know Racing played Boca like last year, 2 years ago. I got to double check, but and see how he performed. But yeah, it's different when it comes to like, okay, this is do or die, right? Like, whether they lose their cool, like we saw in that first leg. Like I said, it's not going to be. The core guys aren't going to be phased. They've been through much tougher crowds, but it will be interesting to see how the depth pieces respond to playing in this type of environment again.
The depth pieces.
So I think that to me is going to be another like a side story. It's like, I expect the four core guys that you guys have to perform as expected, but it's going to be interesting to see how they play or the depth pieces play in terms of, this type of environment in a, pretty much winner. They got to win, Inter Miami has to win at least, they got to score two goals. So it's not like, it's they can hold on to a lead or whatever, but yeah, it's the how the depth pieces respond is going to be interesting to see how this plays out.
Well, and bring that up real quick again, Danny, because I was going to ask you to bring this up before you even did it. So you're like, we're right here. Campana is not going to be there. He's dead again, right?
Suarez is playing 90.
Suarez is for sure playing 90 because Borjalin, like, what? You're going to put him in a critical game? No, that's not happening. Suarez is playing full 90.
And then Messi's right there where Gressel is.
Oh, yeah. I mean, guys, he's playing 90. Busquets is playing 90. I mean, other than that, you're going to have two goalies on the bench. You're going to have Saylor and Allen who are literally going to shit their pants because they see a mountain. Sunderland looks like he doesn't shit his pants.
But as far as starting 11, Messi's going to be starting. Suarez is going to be starting. Busquets is going to be starting. Gomez, Alba, Freire, Aviles, and Weigand. And Callander. I think, what did I just say? Like 8 out of the 11, I think won't be fazed by that. Now, who's going to start at left wing? I'm not sure.
It would have to be Gomez.
Okay.
It would have to be Gomez.
I think just about everybody there can handle it as far as the starters go. Outside of, I don't know who's going to fill in that empty spot because Gomez moves up.
Could handle that?
somebody has to come in. Krimaki, I think, might be phased by it. If Krimaki were to come back and play, I think he might be phased by it.
Nah, Krimaki looks like he's out to kill right now.
Oh, and you know what? And I'm wrong. I forgot about Negri.
Negri, the Punisher.
I don't see many people on this roster being phased by the atmosphere. Now, when it comes to depth and then the substitutes, maybe. But I don't see it. All right. Eddie, now that we talked about that, I'm kind of curious. What's the difference in lineup coming up this Wednesday? Because I know you have, was it Rodriguez? So he's suspended for the game. Is everybody else healthy and ready to go for Wednesday outside of Rodriguez?
There was some doubt that Hector Moreno picked up something in that first leg, but reports that I've seen are saying that he's good to go. So I'm assuming he's going to be good to go because Sebastian Vega says he also got a yellow card, so we don't have the backup left center back. So he's going to have to play 90 minutes or they bring in Stefan Medina and they go two right-footed center backs, which wouldn't be ideal, but that's an option. But I feel like that other than Cuadra, I think they're going to go pretty much same lineup. It might be a little different formation. So that's going to be interesting. But I think everybody else, if I'm not mistaken, is good to go other than Cuadra, who's suspended. But yeah, I think everybody else is good to go.
And knowing that Monterrey technically has the advantage right now because they have the two away goals and they have a 2-1 lead. I absolutely hate that rule, but you know it is what it is. It is awful because we can literally win the game 1-0 and still be eliminated. It's ridiculous. But knowing that they have that advantage, do you think that they will, as they say, park the bus and play very defensive just to hold on to that lead and change the way that they usually play their games?
I don't think so. But again, this is without Corcho Rodriguez because, you know, if you go look at that second leg in Cincinnati, they were searching for that first goal. They were trying to get the first goal. And they did, you know, to take it 2-0. But obviously you're missing your best midfield or, you know, your best defensive midfielder for this game. So that's you know, that's a wrench in there. Maybe they try to get that first quick goal and then try to hold on. But, you know, like I said, like if Inter Miami's giving them good passing lanes, like they didn't do in that first leg, and they're finding really good scoring chances, that would be the difference there. But I do think they're going to try to at least get the first goal. They're going to try to score, and they're not going to just hold on and sit back. I think the same approach will probably be like they did against Cincinnati, where they had the 1-0 lead, and then they found they opened the scoring in that second leg. So I think it's going to be the same approach, but might be wrong just because you're missing, like I said, they're missing the best defensive midfielder that we got in there. So yeah, but I still think they're going to try at least get that first goal.
I think Diego, it's going to be critical that when Messi plays, it's going to be a game changer. Go ahead, Danny.
Well, I saw what Diego Bonito wrote earlier. I lost the comment, but he said Monterrey is also going to be feeling a lot of pressure. Mm-hmm. They know that they're going to be feeling a lot of pressure because they know Messi's coming back. All the eyes are watching them. It's a big game. And they know that right now they have the advantage. So it's almost like you don't want to mess up. How do you think your team's going to react if Messi and Suarez were to link up and score early? Because I think that mentally, if Inter Miami scores quickly, I think that changes the game mentally for a lot of the Monterrey players.
I see that point. Just because, again, against Cincinnati, you saw Lucho Acosta score probably, arguably, one of the best goals of this tournament, where he just danced through three or four defenders, and that's where I felt like, oh damn, like, are they gonna shit the bed? But mentally, that's like their first mental test, where it's like, okay, we just got embarrassed by three or four of our players got embarrassed. You know, Cincinnati's playing loose. They got nothing to lose here. I feel like that was the approach that they came into that second half. They were down 2-0. Hey, let's play loose here. And they got that first goal. And they had some other scoring chances. But that was a good first mental test where it's like, okay, we gave up a bad timing goal. It's here where it's like, hey, are we going to fall apart? Or we're going to hold our mental toughness and score a goal, which they were able to do. I feel like that was that first test. Obviously, Messi and Suarez are different than than what Cincinnati had to offer. But I feel like that's a good, like, you know, they can lean on that where it's like, hey, okay, we were in this situation before. We were able to get out of it. Let's not, like, abandon whatever game plan. Let's, like, let's just stay focused here. And I feel like that's I don't think the first goal is going to, like, shock them. Maybe the fans, it might get quiet, but I don't think the team is going to get phased just because they've seen themselves get out of that type of situation before.
I agree with that. I agree that if Miami scores quick, I think everybody knows the whole Messi mystique, right? There's a mystique around Messi. I think if Miami scores within the first 10 minutes, the fans in the stadium are also like, oh, fuck.
Yeah,
like, they start to question it, right? Maybe not we're fucked, but like they're not as like energetic. They're like, oh. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, that's kind of you know, it's like in football where it's like, hey, you know, NFC title game, AFC title game, and, you know, you're the home team, and then
Tom Brady goes down the field.
First possession, easy. Yeah, you know, first possession, you know, they're up, you know, it takes the air out of the
snatches your soul. Forget about it.
Because you're all hyped up, like, oh, we got a good defense, and we got scored on immediately.
Mm-hmm. And let me ask you guys this, like, how often does Inter Miami, like, have you guys seen, especially with Messi and, like, outside of that, because the one I can think of is obviously the Orlando City game where it's like they just popped in and it was just like an avalanche. But like in the Messi era, like how often would you say, okay, we score within the first 20, 30 minutes, like, and then it's just like an avalanche? Like how often would you say that's happened?
It's happened a handful of times. I remember Messi's second ever game with us against Atlanta. We had three in the first, I think it was like 20 minutes. We ended up winning that game 4-0, I think, because Drake blocked that penalty kick. I mean, when Miami gets rolling, they get rolling, and they come in bunches.
Well, and it's not even that. It's the fact of just holding – once you score and you have Messi on your team, like it's like you said, Danny, it's literally taking the oxygen out of the other fan base and saying, oh, shit. Like, not necessarily we're fucked, but now we got to come back against a team with Messi on it. And then holding the possession, it's critical.
Oh, shout out to Juan for joining us. Appreciate you. He's the one that took us off topic last time talking about Monterrey. Appreciate him jumping on with us. He said we're fantasizing. I guess we'll get to him in a second. As far as scoring early, this is my fear with Inter Miami. They do tend to get aggressive and aggressive early. Mm-hmm. And they really try to score quickly. The issue with that is that we also give up a lot of early goals. Because we are so aggressive, we play with that high line, and we get so aggressive that we leave ourselves open in the back for a counterattack. And that happens, especially this season, it's happened more than not, where we give up a very, very early goal, and we're chasing the game after that. And last year, it didn't happen as much. This year, it's happened a lot. So that is a fear of mine, that they're going to be like, let's score early, kind of like we said, get the crowd out of it, get them doubting themselves. But when you get that aggressive, you need to score. Mm-hmm. Because if you don't score and then you make a bad turnover and you get scored on the other side, all of a sudden you're effed because then you are 100% in a deep hole. So they do that, but it worked a lot better last season. This season it hasn't worked as well.
No.
Are you guys expecting like Jordi Alba to get aggressive? And, you know.
Absolutely.
I'm wondering if Jordi Alba is going to play in the midfield.
From my perspective in that first leg, I didn't see him as aggressive. I felt like he was committed defensively, or at least, you know, more helping out. Like, okay, this is the game plan. We're going to stick to the game plan. I didn't see him as like active. Like, hey, I'm going to travel a little bit higher than usual. I don't know. Maybe you guys saw something different, but I didn't see him do that.
I mean, well, this is it right here. This is it right here. This is what's going to happen that game. If Negri – yeah, go ahead, Danny.
I was going to say, I think Alba might play in the midfield and Gomez would play the left wing. And then, I would rather see this. I like what Jeffrey's saying.
Yes, absolutely. This is what I see happening. I mean, like I said, we saw a little bit of it in the last game. Negri, right? Somebody kept mentioning we're saying it wrong. He played very well for his first return to the one team, to Inter Miami CF, not the two team. So him playing with Alba is great.
Juan, what is he only won three games since showing up? I'm not sure what that means. If you could just clarify. And Diego here, if Monterrey gets an early goal, what do you think happens to Miami mentally, guys? I'll tell you what happens to the fan base. The fan base loses all hope. Yes. Now,
I don't want to like reference like the DC United game, the Red Bulls were, and you know, because they it was without Messi, so it's a different, it's different without him than in him, absolutely, you know, than with him. So like, I don't want to like say, okay, you know, I've seen Inter Miami give up, you know, there were like a lot of scoring chances in those first like 20 minutes I remember against DC United, because that was like one of the first games I watched from like, you know, from minute one to 90. But again, yeah, it's without Messi, so like I don't want to like lean on that, and that was without the new right back, so like I don't want to reference that too much. But yeah, that I feel like, you know, I think both teams are going to try to get that first goal, because it's a definitely, you know, momentum shifter.
And Jeffrey is here saying his starting 11. He's putting the same play. Well, I mean, Negri, he would be the one that would be playing left back, Alba behind in front of him, and then Gomez playing left wing.
I think this is that probably what we're going to see. And then off the bench, we might finally see Kremaki. Yes. We might finally see him maybe come in for Gressel. And I don't know. We don't have too many options off the bench right now because of all our injuries, but I think that might be one of the things we see.
I mean, by default, he has to be on the bench. Like, who the hell else are we going to have? It's going to be awful. Yeah, if he doesn't go, like, we're going to have two goalies waiting to play forward and center back.
Yeah. So, Chris, do you think we come out with a 4-3-3 then?
I would imagine so, especially now that we have more depth on our wing backs than we've ever had before. I mean, obviously, without, with Ruiz out, you know what? We got Weigand that's playing the right back, but at least we finally have some depth at the left back. So I think that 4-3, I could see that.
Yeah. All right, Eddie. Before we get into the whole prediction thing, I did have a question as far as actually at Monterrey. I don't think I asked you last week. Do you guys have any traditions or anything that you do at the game, or did I ask?
Yeah. It's the TIFO. I think I read something today. They're going to be doing that. They're going to be doing something too. So it's going to be like a big TIFO. I don't know what type of TIFO, but there's going to be a TIFO, unveiled like before the players go out there.
All right. And then now let's go on to Monterrey real quick. I put up the starting 11 from last week. You said that the only difference might be the fact that one of the center defensive midfielders, Rodriguez, is out. Now, I would assume that he has a large responsibility in covering our number 10, in this case, Messi.
Yeah.
Now, because he's missing, is that going to affect you guys? And who would be replacing him? Is he a scrub? Tell me he's a scrub.
No, he's not a scrub. In terms of the replacement, I don't trust any of them. I would be interested to see if they change the formation and go to a 4-4-2, where you get Bertarame and Vasquez. Even though I'm not the biggest fan of like the two striker formation, but you know, you get Canales, who has played some type of defensive midfielder while he was in Spain, so he wouldn't be too.
Oh, but that's not, you know,
so he can do that. But there's no really like other defensive midfielder that I would trust. Govea would be the next in line, but I don't trust him. I mean, they can roll the dice, they can gamble and put Govea to keep that formation. But then we're going to just be holding for dear life, because that's not the move I would make. I would go 4-4-2, and just have Canales be that, you know, defensive midfielder. But I don't know what exactly he's going to do.
Really, you would drop Canales that far back?
You know how crazy that would be to pull Canales that far back? I mean, that literally will leave you guys exposed. I don't want to say exposed,
I don't like the other option. I mean, they've done it this season where Canales plays 4-4-2. Like, so it's not like a different, you know, he's played it.
It's nothing out of the ordinary.
So it wouldn't be crazy, but obviously you take his offensive capabilities away a little bit, because now he has to focus a little bit more defensively. But I would prefer that over putting in Govea. But, you know, again, whether it's all about whether he wants to stick to that formation, then he throws him in. And then, like I said, we're just holding off for dear life. Even everybody else, even on, you know, on Rayo's Twitter knows, like, hey, if Govea plays, we're just going to, it's, you know, persignarlo, see what happens.
Well, and that's, no, go ahead, Danny. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
No, I mean, I was just going to mention, because you're talking about that Canales would basically play like a defensive midfielder. Just, I guess this game would be the best game to play more reserved, so that way you don't get scored on as much. So I guess it is a good idea to sort of take whatever your best center defensive midfielder is and kind of just flow him with Messi.
Yeah, I have nothing for that, Eddie.
No, no, am I wrong?
No, you're right. It's just like I said, the guy who's Gouveia's not very good. We got another kid, so that's like, you're not gonna throw a kid into this game. Like, that's you just saw last week what an 18-year-old can do. Mm-hmm. You know, it can, you know, these types of games where it's like, you know, it's not wise to have a kid have a learning experience, because then it costs you. So, you know, you're out of options. That's why I said that the suspension really killed us. The good part is that he left us with a 2-1 lead. The bad part is that, you know, he leaves us for 90 minutes and we're just trying to scramble and see what happens. But that's why I said, like, it's going to be one of those two where they either decide go 4-4-2, put Canales as a DM and figure it out there, or stick to that formation and put Gouveia in there and just hope that, you know, they can limit the amount of damage, or they can, you know, whether Inter Miami does some damage, they can counter back and do some of their damage of their own. So that's pretty much it. Like, that's we don't got no depth after Rodriguez and at that position. So it's gonna hurt a lot.
I kind of like hearing you say that. For everybody that criticizes MLS for not having a salary cap, look, they don't have a salary cap, and they don't got depth either.
Well, we have depth. It's just depth that I don't like.
Well, that sucks.
How about, like, if Gouveia goes to MLS, I'm pretty sure he'd be a starting number five, you know, on some team. So, but he's not a player that I would like. You know, I felt like they should have improved that behind him. That's not the guy I would want out there for.
Especially, yeah, different standards, Danny.
No, okay, that's fair. I can't say anything to that. All right, real quick, and then Juan, I put up the comment. He said that Inter Miami was unknown before Messi. Juan, how long has Monterrey been a club, Eddie? It's
been 100 years. Last year was their 76th anniversary.
All right, so
they've been around since like the 40s.
Three quarters of a century. Inter Miami had been around for, I mean, like, if you want to count 2020, but not really, because it was like the COVID. We've been around for 2 years. 2 years, my guy. Of course we were unknown. We're 2 years old. And then we got the best player of all time. So, like, it's not really an insult when you say that. It's a fact. We were only been around for 2 years.
He thinks he's hurting your feelings, though, Danny.
No, he's not. I mean, I get it. Yeah, he said right now he just said 2020. I know, but 2020, there was nobody in the stadium. Like, it was a weird makeshift season.
This is the type of comments you see, or the type of, like, dialogue you see on Twitter.
Yeah.
That's why I stay away from that stuff. I'm like, there's no.
All right. And then real quick, right before we're almost hitting the end, I did want to get both of your takes on, and the chat can also chime in. I've been watching Messi forever. My favorite type of Messi is spicy Messi. Because when spicy Messi shows up, spicy Messi comes to play. Now, seeing the way that everything happened after the game on Wednesday, I have a feeling that he's going to be really pissed off on Wednesday. And then all the Mexican fans yelling puto at him for sure is also going to piss him off. So I have a feeling that that's going to work in our favor. Do you think, Eddie, that will have any bearing? I don't know if you've watched Messi closely or you just stick to Liga MX.
I mean, you also kind of counter into the fact he's 37. He didn't really do that at PSG, where it was like, you know, he was angry.
But that's because, in PSG, they don't play against competition. Like, they've been winning
they didn't win the Coupe de France. He didn't get angry when he missed the PK against Real Madrid. And
he used to get mad in training. He used to get pissed off in training because he hated his teammates.
Yeah, but yeah, it's just I feel like people forget he's going to turn 37 and he's not going to turn 27, because if Messi was 27, then I'd be But again, some of these guys already know him. They've seen him at his best. So I don't think that's going to be into a factor. And a lot of these are Latin American players, so there's going to be some spiciness to it. It's not like you're facing, you know, exactly. your guys, Nashville SC, where it's a bunch of like Americans, Canadians, and you know, all that stuff, where they were not prepared for that type of game.
He'll understand everything they're saying, and vice versa.
Yeah. So I don't think so. I could be proven wrong. It's just, you know, again, I grew up in LA. I saw, you know, Kobe Bryant is one of the most intense. You make up stuff, but at some point your body just gives out, right? Like, you're not the same anymore. And you can't tell a close to 37-year-old to do the same thing when he was, you know, that he had at 27. At least that's what I'm counting on. You know, I'm not saying he's not going to score a goal, but I feel like if you're asking him to score a hat trick, 3 goals, 4 goals, or whatever that you expected him from his prime, then I don't think you know how the human body works.
Well, just before I get to you, Chris, just to be clear, I know he said hat trick, 3 goals, 4 goals. Just to be clear, in case anybody didn't know, Miami needs to win the game. First of all, right? They can't draw. They can't lose. They have to win the game. And if they win 1-0, they're still eliminated. They need to win at least 2-1 to go to extra time. Now, if they win by scoring 3 or more goals, they automatically move on, because that would give them more than 2 away goals, which would be the tiebreaker. So it's either you win 2-1, go to extra time, or you score 3 or more and win and you move on. Those are our options. Nothing else. Those are the options. 2-1 or 2-0, obviously. 2-0, 2-1, or then score more than 2, and then you just automatically win. So go ahead, Chris.
Well, I mean, not only that, but we have a spicy Suarez. But he's always spicy. I mean, he's always spicy. But then, and then also we have a spicy Alba. I mean, this game is upset. This game is going to be in the bag.
This game is close as what MLS is going to get to, like, Libertadores, because I like there being hate. I like there being, like,
100%.
Me too. Like, obviously, I always feel like, you know, obviously obviously Mexico is known for, like,
there we go, MLS. Walter. There we go. Dos acero, and we move on. I like that. You know how much they love it over there in Mexico. Go ahead. I'm sorry to cut you off.
No. It's. I like this. I like then, because I feel like both teams are evenly matched. It's not like where you guys were playing Nashville and they were trying to fabricate. Like, I think they were trying to, like, puff themselves up, even though their team was, like, you know, it was just Honey Mukhtar and that's it. Like, they were trying to puff themselves up, you know, and there was nothing behind it. But I like their being hate. It's like when Argentine clubs play Brazilian clubs. It's not going to be like, you know, it's not going to be like, there's going to be hate. There's going to be shit talking, whatever, as long as it stays, you know, above the belt, whatever. But that's what I like. You know, I like the animosity. I like, you know, the extra stuff that comes with it.
I do too. Ooh. All right, Chris, what do you think about Spicy?
Can't compete in the French league. Oof.
What do you think about Messi being spicy before we get into our predictions?
I think it's going to happen. I think that him coming back from this injury and seeing the sort of animosity that's going on between the two teams, and the fact that, I guess, of how important it is. Because, I mean, if you really look at the tournament, like, Inter Miami is the only team that's going to be able to sort of, like, make this push towards the end. So there's those stakes as well. I think this is going to be a freaking hell of a game. And I think that we're going to come out swinging. And I don't know if you want to do predictions already, but everybody's already...
Ooh, shout out to nice Jonathan. Place. I love that.
Yes. Yes.
We're going to 145 your ass, Eddie.
Get 145'd.
All right. Let's leave Eddie for last, since last time we made him go first. Want me to go first, Chris, or you want to go first?
I'll go first so I could do some exaggerated score. I think we're going to win 4-1. I think it's going to be a fucking bloodbath. And,
hold on. Eddie, what was the last time somebody scored 4 in Monterrey when you guys were at home?
Any chance? I think America. But I don't know if it was 3-1 or 4-1.
I've heard Monterrey is a great home team. That's what I've heard.
Yeah, they're pretty consistent at home. Like, I think that out of, like, the last 2 or 3 years, I at the top of my head, I can only think of America scoring like more than 3 goals. I think was the only one.
You know what America is in English? America, which means that Inter Miami is going to be coming in and scoring 4 goals out the box, 4-1. We're going to dust them up and book it back to Miami. What do you think, Danny? So you can kind of simmer my prediction down, since I just came straight out like the Kool-Aid man.
And just to be clear, I'm scrolling through Monterrey's
sort of history.
And I am currently in October of 2022, and I'm yet to see anybody put four on them, home or away. So I don't know. That'd be pretty cool if we do it. Oh, there we go. Santo Laguna, July 3rd, 2022, but it wasn't at home. That was the last time they gave up four. So look, I didn't think Monterrey was bad. I just thought that they were a little overrated because I expected them to look a lot better. All right, I think that I told you if Messi plays, I think we win. Do I think we win 1-0? Maybe. 2-2 would be an elimination for us. We cannot draw. I think that we win, and I'm gonna say 3-2. We're gonna win 3-2, which would leave us at 4-4 aggregate. But we would have the tiebreaker in that stupid rule that I hate. So I'm gonna go 3-2. I'm gonna go 3-2. I'm gonna go 3-2 into Miami. I do think that Messi and Suarez will link up early, and it's gonna be a fun game. It's gonna be a really fun game. And Eddie, I leave it to you.
I think it's gonna be the same scoreline, 2-1. Monterrey advances. That's what they did. Like they're playing chess. You know, they're not trying to get into a run and gun show. They're trying to control the game. They did that against FC Cincinnati. Got away from them a little bit, but I feel like I expect the same game. And then they advanced 2-1, 4-1 aggregate.
It's going to go to penalties.
Yeah, I take my prediction back. I think it's going to be 2-1 also. And I think it does go to penalties.
Are you guys going to be able to survive penalties?
Now, that's the question now. So let's say hypothetically. Be
picking penalties.
Let's say hypothetically we go to penalties. What's it looking like? Are you still predicting Monterrey to win?
Penalties? I think the last time we went to penalties was when we won the league title against America de Azteca.
There is extra time, right? It doesn't go straight to penalties.
Yeah, no, I think it's extra. No, this it goes to extra time.
Least,
yeah, so there's going to be an added 30 minutes 30. Or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's none of these guys have been in, at least I can think of, have been into like a penalty kick situation. So that would be pretty, like, in terms of this team. So it would be something that I really don't want to hope for. Mm-hmm. Because especially at home, like the last, I think, we've had some House of Horrors in PKs.
That's what Patrick is saying.
Yeah, so... I don't want to get to that. So I'm.
And Diego's saying that that you guys have a big game against Tigres on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Now the fact that I'm assuming you guys prioritize Champions Cup over. Yeah. So.
Yeah, because like you said, against Cruz Azul in the earlier, they pretty much threw out a rotated squad, we threw out a couple of kids out there, and it was like, hey, if we can draw, that's best. I mean, you know, obviously the coach is not going to say, hey, we're throwing this game away because we got two other games that we really care about. But, you know, that's what they pretty much did. You throw out two 120-year-old, one 19-year-old, and a bunch of, like, subs. You know, that's where they prioritize. That's where I saw Inter Miami, too. Like, they I don't think Suarez played. Nope. Your guys, you know, some of your veterans came out in the second half to at least get their legs warm. So I feel like both teams had the same thought where it's like, hey, this game really doesn't matter. And the big game is on Wednesday.
Yeah. So, well, I mean, when we went Leagues Cup, how many penalty shootouts did we win? We obviously Nashville when we won the Cafetera, right? That's the championship one. We beat Nashville in PKs.
Miami FC. Oh no, that was the freaking stupid cup.
The Open Cup. Yeah, you know that's great. I like that. It's a stupid cup. So yeah, we beat Nashville. We beat Dallas. Did we beat anybody else in PKs then?
No, that was it. AZ Rebellion is mentioning too.
Yeah. Yep. And then we beat Cincinnati in the U.S. Open Cup semifinals in PKs. So since Messi's been here, we've had three PK shootouts, and we won all three.
Was it the Cincinnati game? Did it go to extra time, or did it go straight to PKs?
It went to extra time.
Okay.
It was the Open Cup.
Okay.
So and then Nashville and Dallas was straight to PKs. So, I mean, I feel pretty good. I mean, Drake usually comes up big in those moments. So, you know, I don't feel too bad. Chris, if we go to PKs, how you feeling?
I think I feel good. I mean, a lot of the fans here, you know, that support Monterrey, they're mentioning that they're not really great in PKs. So I mean, we're not bad in PKs. We haven't performed awful in PKs. So I feel pretty confident.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. I think that we're just about at the end. Chris, do you have any of your questions you want to throw Eddie's way before we get out of here?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I kind of do. And I'm looking for the picture, Danny. We already went over the bread stuff, right?
Yep.
We already did all that stuff. But there was a question that we missed out on. And
came up after Eddie.
That's right. It was immediately after Eddie.
Next episode.
So Eddie, when we're talking about music, and it comes to boy band music, are you going with NSYNC or Backstreet Boys?
I like Justin Timberlake, so I gotta by default go.
Yeah,
with NSYNC. I like some JT.
Okay, but let's
you're
be clear.
You're terrible, Danny.
No, let's be clear. What did
Shut
he
up.
Say?
That's it.
Did
it's over. NSYNC? It's over. Shut up.
He chose your mic. Justin you're Timberlake.
Done. It's by default.
All right.
It's like when Messi fans come to your guys' team. You know, that's what I'm doing here.
Nobody cares about anybody else.
All right, and then one last question, just to bring an old one back, since you were 2 weeks in a row, we'll bring this last one back.
Oh, ooh, nice!
This is a throwback.
This is a throwback. So you got to pick one of these pieces. You got to pick one of these five steaks and one of these six toasts. Which one are you going with?
I go number two on the steak, then number four on the toast.
All right.
Okay, I respect. That's respectable choices. Yeah.
I like that. All right. Well, Eddie, we appreciate you joining us. For those of you that were expecting the Spanish show, Eddie was supposed to go on with us after this at 10 o'clock to do the Better Herons en Español, but we had to rebook it, and we're going to do it tomorrow night at 10 p.m. So we apologize if you are waiting to flip over to the Español. You'd have to wait till tomorrow night at 10 o'clock. We'll be on to preview the game en Español with Daniel Solana and Xavier Lavoz. So, but for those of you watching now, Eddie, let them know where they can find you and follow you.
Yeah, you can follow the @Rayals90. It's right there on the screen. I cover the men's and the women's team that we have. Whether it's on Twitter, X, or whatever you want to call it, and the blog too. So definitely check that out. Check all that out. All the podcasts are on there too. So any Rayals content, in terms of anybody that's intrigued by the club after, you know, the hate goes away or the animosity goes away, they want to follow them or just, you know, intrigued by them, that's where you can find all that stuff.
And then Hammy, it didn't go over my head. I noticed the subtle shade that Eddie threw there also. But regardless, everybody's saying thanks, and they appreciate you. Except for Juan. Juan wanted you to just say that Monterrey was going to win 10-0. Because you didn't say that, he doesn't
like it. Yeah, no. It's just...
All right. And just, I love this. The mountain will be pink. I think I'm going to Photoshop that, and I'm going to make the pop mountain pink.
I'm gonna come out guns blazing too. Don't you guys worry about it. I've been civil here because, you know, try to keep it above the belt here. It's a boxing match, but yeah, we'll see some shit talking on Wednesday. It's gonna be a Wednesday night. Like, so how many people are gonna stay up for this game? Because I think it's 10 o'clock Eastern time.
No way.
Yeah,
it's
7 o'clock. It's a 7 o'clock Pacific time over here. Like, it's a late one. So I'm like, how many people are gonna be staying up?
What?
Yep, I just looked at it. 10:30 p.m. Yes,
we got Mekis. It becomes like, why? Because in Mexico, or at least in Latin America too, it's like 9 p.m. kickoffs, right? It's 9 p.m. kickoffs. Like, it's so like not
I'm
even
okay with the 9 p.m. kickoff.
10:30 p.m. I mean, he's not lying, Danny. Like, are you not?
You're gonna have to stay out.
Are you living on that mountain? You don't. It's 10:30 at night. Is everybody here just realizing that it's 10:30 at night? Are you serious?
I assume that we were normal people. That usually it would be like if it's 7 o'clock Pacific.
These guys are gonna be playing at 4:30.
No, but I thought that like 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, maybe 10, and not even you couldn't give me 10 o'clock, 10:30. What are those extra 30 minutes for?
But this is too much. 10:30 is early. 10:30 is not early, Madisyahu.
If you're a vampire.
What the hell? I didn't. I thought everybody knew.
No, man. Oh my God.
Patrick is saying plus extra time and penalties. Forget it. We're going to be up until like 3 in the morning.
Well, I don't know if you want to change your prediction now.
Who's joining us for the post game at 3 in the morning?
Nobody. Not even my grandma's getting on.
Well, most people are going to be joining us on their way to work the next day. We're going to be doing the post game. Wow, that is news to me. I did not realize that. That is horrible.
Get yourself a full night's of sleep that night, guys.
Yeah, for sure. All right. I think that's it. Any final words there, Eddie?
No, just hopefully, good game. Get some, obviously get some good heat. Get some, everything stays above the belt. Like I said, this has the potential to be a Copa Libertadores type of game. So that's what I want. That's what I expect. Hopefully that's what we get.
I feel so confident when Messi's on the pitch for us. We're yet to lose with him. Like, we draw sometimes, but we don't lose with him. So will it be enough to get us through? I don't know. But there is a first time for everything. But I highly doubt a Mexican team would do that. Chris, final words.
10:30, mi gente. Get ready to stay up all night, guys. And join us if you so like to.
And look at what Jay Ray is saying. Messi tiene miedo. Yeah. He played Real Madrid 2 or 3 times a year and he's scared of Monterrey. Yeah.
No, come on, exactly.
Yes. He's terrified of Monterrey when he was playing against Real Madrid on a regular basis. But yes, that's who he's scared.
World Cups.
Yeah, we're scared of that mountain. Watch out for them. Oh, they're going to say puto. Oh,
he's
no.
scared of, you know what else he's scared of? 10:30.
Yeah, that's scary.
Scared of 10:30. Shut
that's
up.
Scary. That's legit scary. All right. Well, Eddie, we appreciate you joining us again. And we hope to talk shit to you very soon. If you are listening on audio, we appreciate you listening all the way to the end. Please leave us 5 stars, comment, review, all that other good stuff. If you're watching on YouTube, thank you for watching all the way to the end. Please like, subscribe, share, tell your friends. And for those of you in the chat, as always, even the ones that were from Monterrey talking shit, we appreciate you guys. You guys are the best part of the show. If you haven't already, please like and subscribe and hit that little bell that notifies you when we go on. We'll be on tomorrow night for Batter Herons en Español with Solana, La Voz, Chris, myself, and Eddie will be joining us also. So we'll be doing that tomorrow. So until the next one, have a good one.
10:30.